May we be helped to commence our worship of Almighty God by singing together hymn 624. Hymn 624 to the tune Keswick, number 38. The Lord Jehovah is our Father and our friend. Immortal majesty is His, nor can His glory end. He guards His children well. They shall not starve for want when they their needs unto Him tell. He'll answer their complaint. Hymn 624, we're commencing in at the second verse, to the tune Keswick, number 38.
Thank you. Together from the sacred scriptures, the Word of God, reading from the Book of Psalms, Psalm 35. The 35th Psalm. Psalm 35. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him? False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good, to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother, I bow down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced, and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me, and cease not. With hypocritical mockers in feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Aha, aha, our eye have seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonour that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favour my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we come before him in prayer. Most holy, almighty, merciful and gracious God, to help us to come before thee now as we gather together here on this returning Lord's Day morning. And oh, we would be truly thankful for the Lord's Day, this day set apart, sanctified for holy use, as we cease from our daily labours to have this time to come before thee, to worship thee, or we trust unhindered and less distracted by the things of this world. Oh, to be found in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, taken up in the things of God. Oh, Lord, do come and solemnize our hearts and our minds. Come and prepare our hearts that we might be found good ground hearers to receive thy word. And we would be thankful for thy word, the sacred scriptures, the word of God. Thy word is truth. Oh, in this day, when there's so many things that are false, so many lies told and deceits, and we have our own deceitful hearts, Lord, we do thank Thee for Thy word, for Thy word is truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, to be taught of God and taught the truth as it is in Jesus. Blessed are our souls by Holy Word, to make it that living word. The words which I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are truth. But apply Thy word by Thy Holy Spirit. Oh, may the Holy Ghost be very active this day, taking of the things of Jesus, revealing them, making them known unto us. Oh, Lord, may it be that we have come in need and not in need of nothing. Save us from that Laodicean spirit, lukewarm, indifferent to the things of God, careless, greatly backslidden. As many as I love, I rebuke. O, be zealous therefore and repent. O Lord, that we have come as sinners, to him who receives sinners, the same yesterday and today and forever. And of sinners to come, feeling that shame, that contrition, in confession and supplication for mercy. But sinners coming to the Saviour of sinners, the Lord Jesus, Jesus only. If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Oh, to know him as our Saviour, the chiefest among 10,000, the altogether lovely, seeking him as a pearl of great price, and oh, to know him, not just to know of him, not just to know about him, but to know him personally, savingly, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Dear Lord Jesus, do come, and may thy presence be known and felt. Come and reveal thyself, we pray, show thyself through the lattice. O Lord, do come and remember each one. Thou knowest how we gather those here, met together physically, and those who listen in from their homes, such who would be here if they could. Lord, but may the gathering of the people be unto Thee, and come and make one in our midst. Be the master of our assembly, to command the blessing, to prosper thy word. Lord, may we prove, as we also read, as the rain and the snow cometh down from heaven, and watereth the earth, it returneth not thither, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that to which I do please, and prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Lord, send it into the hearts of such who are yet dead in trespasses and in sins, in a dead profession, and quicken and awaken, and call by thy almighty, irresistible grace. O Lord, lay them low, bring them down, strip from all self-righteousness, teach them their need of the Lord Jesus. O Lord, where that work has begun, and we would be truly thankful, whether as that hope of that work having been begun by the Holy Ghost, and being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ. Continue and deepen that work of grace, that that soul might grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, brought to that saving knowledge of him, and being able to put on Christ, or to make that open profession that my beloved is mine and I am his. O Lord, work in the hearts of each one. Bless the dear little ones, the children, the young people growing up into life, and put thy holy fear deep into their hearts. Oh, may they be taught to pray, taught there is a God in heaven who hears and answers prayer. Keep them, preserve them, provide for them, and go before them. Remember, dear parents, also grant much grace and wisdom to bring their children up aright in this increasingly difficult and dark and hostile world in which we live. O Lord, do bless them and help them and encourage them. Remember all in the midst of life, many burdens, cares, responsibilities and duties. O, to cry with the psalmist, hold thou me up and I shall be safe. Remember those in more senior years, as the grasshopper becomes a burden, the outward man perisheth. Lord, bless them in their latter days, and grant them to know that at eventide it shall be light. Now bless this cause of truth. Grant them to know here that thy spirit remaineth. Do great things for them whereof they shall be glad, and turn their captivity as the streams in the south. And do help their deacon in all his responsibilities. Encourage him, stand by him. Oh Lord, do support him and be with him, and help him in all his various responsibilities here. Remember one who goes forth from them to minister. Lord, be with him this day to help and strengthen him in his continued affliction and weakness. Sanctify these things, that grant healing, restoring, strengthening mercies. And O Lord, bless them here. May there be such an outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. And O Lord, who work mightily, gather others in, such as shall be saved. Oh, may this little room, as it were, become too narrow, too small. Oh, but Lord, grant us that single eye to thy honour and to thy glory. Remember Zion, remember the gatherings of thy people. Remember all thy true sent servants. Help and encourage each one, but bless thy word and bless thy people. Glorify thy name. Lord, hear our poor prayer, and hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive, as we would ask all in that worthy, precious, all-prevailing name of Jesus. And for his sake alone we ask. Amen.
The notices are that, God willing, Mr. Adrian Pickett will also preach here this evening. And Mr. Gilbert Hyde is engaged to preach here on Tuesday evening. And Mr. Richard Woodham's next Lord's Day afternoon, with the service to commence at 3 p.m. There will be no evening service next Lord's Day, and at present a red sermon during the morning service and address during the prayer meeting. The church meeting from a week before last, which was cancelled due to sickness, will be held, God willing, tomorrow evening to commence at 6 p.m. And today we take a monthly collection. May we now be helped to continue our worship by singing together hymn 772. Tune South Well, 239. Christ is the keeper of his saints. He guards them by his power, subdues their numerous complaints in every gloomy hour. He'll lead them on fair Zion's road, though weary, weak and faint, for oh, they ne'er shall lose their God, or God e'er lose a saint. Hymn 772 to the tune of Southwell 239.
Grant his gracious help I direct our prayerful attention to Psalm 35. Psalm 35, the latter part of verse 3. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Psalm 35, the latter part of verse 3. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. We read in Genesis chapter 3 concerning Satan, the devil, coming against Eve, coming to tempt her. We read that the serpent was more subtle, crafty, devious than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he puts this question to Eve concerning God, yea, hath God said? He questioned the word of God. He questioned the truth of God. He questioned the commandment of God. He questioned the authority of God. Yea, hath God said? And one thing led to another. And she and Adam took of that forbidden fruit and died. Not physically, died spiritually. Or they knew themselves as guilty sinners, that they had disobeyed the commandment of God. Satan is no figment of our imagination. He is not something, as it were, dreamed up. He is a reality. He is an evil spirit. He is a malicious foe. One of the fallen angels, he has such hatred and enmity against God. He thought he triumphed by causing Adam and Eve to sin and bringing sin into this world. But what he didn't know was the Lord Jesus, or the second person of the glorious Trinity, should become a real man to save his people from their sins. And especially at Calvary, where the Lord Jesus laid down his life and shed his own heart's blood to make atonement for sin. Oh, there he delivered his people. Satan is still very, very active and still very subtle, crafty, and devious. And throughout time, he has ever questioned the word of God, the truth of God, the commandments of God, the authority of God. To put it simply, Satan doesn't want one soul going to heaven. He ever sought to rob God of his glory. And he's still seeking to prevent souls from going to heaven, to rob God of his glory. And though not, as it were, in the literal words, but in the force of them, the same spirit is all around. Yea, hath God said? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe the Bible? Do you really believe the word of God? Do you really believe these things are true? Do you really believe these things are so? Or perhaps, do you really believe these things are relevant? Oh, how subtle, devious, crafty Satan is. He blinds men with ignorance. And in this day and age in which we live, ignorance abounds. Ignorance of the Word of God. Ignorance of the true Word of God. I mean, over 400 years ago, as there was that faithful translation of the scriptures coming upon these shores, so the enemies of the truth under Satan were seeking to destroy the Word of God, and they would have those bonfires of Bibles. But the Lord preserved His Word. And for many years, from the Reformation and times of evangelical reviving, the Word of God has been greatly used and blessed. But in recent years, Satan has taken another way. Ever since man decided the authorized version wasn't totally relevant, needed modernizing, and since that time, we have an abundance of different translations, so that one might say, well, which one is true? Which one is the Word of God? The comfort to the Lord's people is the Lord will ever bless His Word. He will bless His Word personally, spiritually, unto the souls of His people, that they will not question what is the Word of God. They will receive it, as it were, in truth, as the Word of God. They shall be like the Bereans, comparing these things, spiritual with spiritual. We do wholeheartedly believe that this authorized version is relevant today as it ever was. It is the most faithful translation there is of the Word of God, and may the Lord burn it into our hearts. The Word of God. But Satan still comes against even the Lord's people. Yea, hath God said. Again, one of the great ignorances around today, how few there are who truly believe, not so much in God or a divine power, but how few there are who believe that they have a never dying soul. I think we can say there are many who believe after death will be annihilation, there will be nothing, so nothing to be feared, no God to be answerable to, so nothing to worry about, and how many are deluded by that lie. And oh, what a shock and horror it will be to them when they come down to die and realise that they have been deceived. They have been lied to. But then also, how many are deceived that if one lives a morally good life, upright, not a criminal, not a robber, not a horrible person, then you go to a heaven. A heaven of your own imaginations, a heaven of whatever you want, a heaven to please yourself. How many believe in that? Again, what a great shock and horror it will be for such when they come down to die and see that they have also been deceived and lied to. In the scriptures we have the truth. God sets forth before us the truth in the Word of God. The truth that man has a never dying soul. He has a body, he has a spirit, and he has a soul. We all have bodies. We all have spirits, our minds, our thoughts. But we also have never dying souls. The Lord will teach his people the truth. We have that word, I believe it's in Isaiah, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. May it be our mercy to be found amongst his children, and as proof of this, to be taught by the Lord. Now, what does the Lord have to do to his people by his Spirit? He must make them teachable. Like every parent, every teacher will know, the child must be made teachable, willing to learn. And the Lord must make his people teachable, that they will listen to him. Just one example, we think of Martha and Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning of him, if you will, made teachable, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Careful and troubled about many things, it may be lawful things, things of duty, responsibility, perhaps preparing the supper, but she wasn't sitting at the feet of Jesus. And she got herself into such a state because she thought that Mary should be helping her, but she brought upon herself a most sharp rebuke. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that better part that shall not be taken from her. Martha also would be taught that one thing is needful. Every child of God also will be taught that one thing is needful. But one thing is needful. Yes, in our lives there are many, many things we have need of, and God has promised to supply the needs of his people. But really, one thing is needful. One thing. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world? And don't take that word, as it were, literally to an extreme and think, well, I'm never going to obtain the whole world. It may be the whole world of your imaginations, the whole world of your thoughts, the whole world of your love, the whole world of what you want. What shall it profit a man if he should gain all those things, possess all those things, and lose his own soul? Really, there's no comparison with time and eternity. Time is spoken of, or our lives are spoken of, as a vapour that appeareth for such a short time and soon vanisheth away. Just one illustration of that. Think of a kettle coming to boil. When the steam, the vapour comes out, but the kettle boils and that vapour soon disappears. So are our lives. Here upon this earth, like a vapour, but such a short time. Ah, we may think 60, 70, 80, 90 years is a long, long time. Nothing compared to eternity. Another illustration often used is like a drop of water compared to the ocean. But no comparison at all. And our lives really are so short, and oh, we know not when our lives shall end. The old shall die, the young may die. It is appointed unto men once to die, then not annihilation, then not every good person going to heaven, then the judgment, when we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And there will be that separation between those who are Christ and those who are not. Those who have obtained mercy and those who are not. Those washed in the precious blood of Jesus and those who are not. Those clothed upon with the righteousness of Christ and those who are not. Those who are the sheep who have heard his voice and follow him, those who are not. Eternal life and eternal death. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven, are thy credentials clear? Is Jesus Christ thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? That one thing is needful, the salvation of our never dying souls. It might be spoken to those out in the street saying, wouldn't have a clue what you're talking about. I still remember a number of years ago having a Jehovah's Witness at the door. Very confident, very strong, is an absolute denial that he had a soul, would not believe that he had a soul. And how many there are who do not believe that they have a soul? You see, you take the Jehovah's Witnesses. They think it's salvation by works. They think they have to do to try to please God. They know nothing of the grace of God. That by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. They take the glory to themselves. We read that no flesh shall glory in his presence. God will have all the honour, all the glory in the salvation of his people. It is all of grace. It is all of God from beginning to end. The Lord Jesus is the author and the finisher of the faith. The Lord alone who has chosen his people. That time will come when they shall be born again, quickened by the Holy Spirit, and brought into need, or to understand that one thing is needful, the salvation of their never dying soul. Now, that conversion may be sudden, it may be, I use the word carefully, but it may be dramatic. You think of John Newton, you think of the Apostle Paul, you think of the Philippian jailer. It may be gradual, it may be gentle. You think of Lydia, the seller of purple, whose heart the Lord opened. If the Lord didn't open her heart, I rather feel she wouldn't have been at that riverside, at that little gathering. I rather feel if she had been there, the ministry of the Apostle Paul would have had no effect upon her at all. But the Lord opened her heart, that she attended unto those things which were spoken. The gospel, the glorious gospel, salvation by grace, a saviour. The Lord opened her heart to teach her her need of a saviour, to teach her her need of salvation, the salvation of a never dying soul, to teach her that she was a sinner. Now this the Lord will teach all his people. He will teach them that they are sinners. But anyone can say that they are a sinner. King Saul said, I have sinned. Judas Iscariot also saw that he had sinned. Anyone can say that they have sinned against God. I suppose those going to Roman Catholic confessional, in that sense of a head knowledge, are coming to say that they have sinned. They have done wrong. As Joseph Hart put it, that guilty sinner, oh to feel, cuts deep beyond expression. It's not just saying I am a sinner, but it's that sense of being a guilty sinner before an holy God. I know it wasn't his conversion, it was some years later, but with David, and that of Bathsheba, Uriah, and then Nathan in the parable of the ewe lamb, and David really judged himself, condemned himself against that rich man who had taken the poor man's one and only ewe lamb. The man shall surely die, and so on. And then Nathan turned by the Spirit and said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. Remember, David was king at this time. David was a very powerful, important person. He didn't reject what Nathan said. He didn't argue with what Nathan said. He didn't try to make excuses of what he had done. He fell down guilty before God, as every child of God will also fall down guilty before God. And David's penitential psalm 51 will be the language of the heart. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Lord, I have sinned against thee. And not just in confession of sin, but acknowledgement of God's justice, of his righteousness, acknowledging that we deserve the punishment of our sins. Again, we live in a society when the majority think nothing of God. There's no reverence, there's no awe, no trembling before God, and how we all can get even a little caught up in that spirit. But may the Lord teach us differ. differently. Oh, to understand something of the greatness of God, the majesty of God, the power of God. He is the eternal God. He is our creator and maker. He is the Lord God Almighty, in whom we live and move and have our very being. He inhabits eternity from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God, and we have sinned against him. And he has said, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die, eternal death. God cannot look upon one sin with any toleration or allowance. He will never wink his eye at any sin. It is such an abhorrence and evil to him who is so pure and holy. That soul who has sinned against him must die. The wages of sin is death. And this the guilty sinner believes. Oh, there's no question here. Yea, hath God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, ye shall surely die. And that soul trembles before God, knowing that they have sinned against the most holy God, knowing what they deserve as a punishment of their sins. And here my soul convicted stands of breaking all thy ten commands. It's not just one or two sins, is it? It's not just a few sins. It's not just a small number of sins. It is a vast multitude of sins. And let us not also limit sin to sins of deed, in what one has done, the thief has stolen. But there are sins also of word, wherein we have spoken perhaps things which are not fully true. We have spoken such things in a subtle way to excuse ourselves. Also with pride, how it can come out in words, boasting. But then also sinful thoughts, heart sins. The Lord Jesus speaks of what defileth a man, not to eat with unwashed hands, but that which cometh out of man, that defileth a man, what cometh out of his heart, evil thoughts. All those evils that rise out of our hearts, being born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and sins of omission, sins of commission. And perhaps we're all here guilty of sins against light and knowledge. Oh, the vast multitude of our sins, the abundance of our sins, and we have so sinned against God. Oh, what we deserve. What we deserve. And if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? If the Lord is to mark against us our sins, who can stand? There will be no reasoning, there will be no excusing. You remember how both Eve and Adam tried to blame. So Adam blamed Eve, almost blamed God for giving him Eve. He blamed the serpent. Oh, left to ourselves, how we would blame our infirmities, our weaknesses. I couldn't help him. And yet we're all guilty before God. Guilty sinners. Now the Lord will convict his people of their sins. How deep, the depth, the length of that time a soul is under conviction, well really a child of God is under conviction all his days, because we shall never cease from sin. But oh, through the gospel there is salvation, there is deliverance, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, who passeth by the transgressions of the heritage of his people, who retaineth not his anger for ever, because he delighteth in mercy. The mercy of God, or the love of God, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Or may the Lord bring all into concern of our never dying souls, the never ending eternity, that day of death, and all the state of our souls, that need us guilty sinners of salvation. Again, three things the Lord will teach his people concerning salvation. First of all, they cannot save themselves. And anyone who thinks they can save themselves is deluded. We have that Pharisee who went to the temple. He thought he had saved himself. Or he justified himself that he was righteous. He thought he was doing God's service. He thought that God was pleased with him. He was so utterly deceived, and not only was he deceiving himself, he was deceiving those around him also. Perhaps not the publican, but other Pharisees and other onlookers would have thought him to be such a good person, a holy person. He's a Pharisee, he's going to heaven. Some might have envied him. But not God. God saw through him right into his wicked, deceitful, treacherous heart. It was all a mockery. He justified himself that he was righteous, and he didn't have one tiny thread of righteousness. I've sometimes compared that to a bride coming on her wedding day dressed in filthy rags. I mean, it just wouldn't be. Even in today's society, it just wouldn't be. And yet our own righteousness is before the purity of God. Are just that, filthy rags, not fit to be seen. And there was that Pharisee dressed in his filthy rags. He would say, no, I've got these beautiful robes. I have this wonderful attire. This is the best silk or whatever. Look at me, I'm holy. I'm a good person. But he never knew himself to be a sinner. He had no need at all of the salvation of his soul. He was so satisfied with his own religion. Man cannot save himself. Every attempt at self-reformation ends in failure. Every attempt in a soul attempting to save himself, he cannot. You take Pilgrim's Progress and Christian and Pliable, both running, and fall into that slough despond. And you have Pliable, who after a little struggle gets out, but on the wrong side, and then runs back to the city of destruction. There you have Christian, also in the slough despond. He has that heavy burden of his sins upon his back. He cannot get himself out. But he cries and he cries and he cries, and help comes and draws him out on the right side, on that way to celestial city. What a difference. So again, just qualifying what I'm about to say, none other can save. Let me think of those sad false religions where they go to man for the salvation of their souls. We mentioned the Roman Catholics, and there are others also, and they look to man, they look to a priest, they look to a pope, they look to a leader, they look to whatever, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many have been so utterly deceived There was a true story, wasn't there, some years ago of a dying lady in a hospital. One of the doctors or nurses, I'm going to say meaning well, called the Roman Catholic priest, and he turned up and said to her, "I've come to forgive your sins." She said to him, "Show me your hands." He said, "Why?" And he did. She said to him something like, "You're a deceiver. There's no marks of wounds in your hands. You're not the Lord Jesus. You cannot forgive my sins. You cannot save me." Ah, this is what the Lord will teach his people. There is but one Saviour. And he is the propitiation for our sins, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Jesus only. You remember those words spoken on the Mount of Transfiguration. They looked up and saw no man save Jesus only. There's not a man that's born of God but readily will say, "If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way." Oh, to be taught our need of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. He is but the one and only Saviour, and the Lord draws his people unto himself. I do like the account of the woman with the issue of blood. Yes, it was a physical condition. Yes, she'd gone to doctors and surgeons who could not help her, could not heal her. But let us see in the Gospels, all of these which are physical and literal may be seen as spiritual, because each soul was brought to the Lord Jesus. Now, when she had that felt need, when she heard of Jesus, "If I may but touch a hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." Who put that into her heart? She didn't put it there herself. Neither did anyone around her put it into her heart. Indeed, she said to her family or neighbours, when in such a weak condition she was leaving home and going out, "Where are you going? What are you doing?" "I'm going to a man called Jesus. I'm going to fall down before him and touch a hem of his garment, and I'm going to be made whole." They would have laughed as a scorn. They would have thought her mad for thinking such a thing, because they had no faith and they had no need. This dear woman, it was the Holy Spirit who put it into her heart, burnt it into her heart, so it went beyond reason and sense and man's thoughts. It was of faith, it was of God. And she believed. Oh, Satan may have tempted it. "Yea, hath God said?" She would have replied, "Yea, God hath said." She had that real felt need of the Lord Jesus, and she must venture to him to seek him. So it is with every child of God. Oh, that malady, sin, that remedy, Christ. The same way. And she must venture by faith. A great crowd around him, as it were, preventing access. How could she come boldly when there was no way? Faith will always find a way to the Saviour. And she comes, such a poor, low sinner. And she ventures through that crowd. Faith will find a way through. And by the finger of faith, she touches garment, and immediately she feels that healing. The Lord Jesus felt the same going out of him. He knew all about her. It was him drawing her unto himself. And she came in her poverty, in her weakness, in her need. And the Lord saved her. Oh, the Holy Spirit put it into her heart. May the Holy Spirit put it into our hearts, that need, the one thing needful, the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Saviour. I think I quoted earlier from John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and they long to hear his voice." Every sheep, I'm speaking of a literal now, whether it's a shepherd or a farmer, they know that voice. And at times in the day they long to hear that voice. Well, how much so, more so spiritually? You see, the Lord has unblocked their ears spiritually to hear that voice. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And what do they long for the Lord to say? Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. To have that assurance, to have that hope through grace. Oh, to hear the Saviour say, I am, and that speaks of his Godhead, I am that I am before Abraham was, I am thy salvation. Oh, what wonderful words here. And should the Holy Spirit be pleased to apply these words with divine power into our hearts, not a mere head knowledge, but a heart knowledge, to know Christ savingly, to hear him speak into our souls, I am thy salvation. There may be some time has been longing to hear him, or longing to know him, longing to receive his word, longing for a sweet assurance. And all the doubts and fears may abound. Will I ever find him? Will I ever know him? And Satan, whoever comes against that soul to oppose, to question, yea, hath God said, but where the safe to overcome unbelief? Oh, how we need faith. Only the Lord can grant us faith. We cannot produce it ourselves. A mercy to have a little faith to believe in the Lord Jesus. A mercy to have that faith to venture to him. A mercy to cry unto him. A great mercy to hear his voice. Say unto my soul, Lord, my never dying soul, oh, speak to me. Speak thy pardoning voice to me. I am thy salvation, my Saviour. Unbelief is the most terrible sin, and so is presumption. Oh, may we never, ever presume that Christ is our Saviour. May the Lord grant us that great desire, that longing, but never, ever to presume. It's by faith. God-given faith. Faith in Christ as a Saviour. But to know him as our Saviour. The captain of our salvation. To know that we are saved by grace. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Again, a poor trembling sinner feels his unworthiness. He feels he doesn't deserve the mercy of God, the salvation of God. And many in John 6 were offended at the preaching of the Lord Jesus, preaching of himself as the Saviour really. And they turned back and followed him no more. And Jesus turned to the 12, will he also go away? Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, the Saviour of sinners. Oh, but say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. May we not be left to neglect so great salvation, the salvation of our never dying souls. But may this be our great concern, our great desire, that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and to hear his voice. Again, the psalmist begins another psalm in great concern. Be not silent unto me, O Lord, lest if thou be silent unto me, I be like unto them that go down into the pit of despair. Oh, be not silent to me. It is one of the great trials that the Lord's people have when the Lord is silent. When the Lord is silent. Was not the Lord silent to that Syrophoenician? And remember with her, first we might think it incredible, the Lord Jesus could not be hid. He who is able to do all things could not be hid. Why was that? Because faith will always find the Saviour. And she came to him, she poured out her soul to him, and he answered her not a word. But she didn't give up, she didn't turn back, she didn't go away. Oh, she remained there pleading. The disciples, misunderstanding the Lord's dealings with her, they sought to send her away, but he never sent her away. Oh, though he seeks to speak against her, are not sent but unto the lost sheep of the children of Israel, it produced that cry from her heart, Lord, help me. It is not meet to take of the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs, Gentile dogs, sinners. Truth, Lord. Truth, I am a sinner. Truth, I am a Gentile dog. Truth, I am not worthy. I'm not deserving. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs under the master's table. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh, and the Lord blessed her. And the Lord attended to her. The Lord saved her daughter. The Lord saved her soul. Oh, to know the salvation of ourselves. May we not be left, I just feel a burden of this, to neglect the salvation of our souls, but may the Lord bring us each into concern, that great concern. Or we may try to put away these thoughts. We may try to immerse our minds into the things of this world, the ways of this world, and so many other things we can be careful and troubled about, and yet neglect our souls. And oh, may not Satan also tempt us to leave these things until we're older for another day. You don't need to worry yourself about them now. We most certainly do. Constant other reminders of death. Oh, to be prepared to die. Oh, to be a real Christian. One saved with an everlasting salvation. One blessed with that good hope through grace. One who can say that my beloved is mine and I am his. One who has heard his voice, that inward voice. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and so on. One being drawn to the Lord Jesus in that need of our soul salvation. One blessed with that sweet hope, even a sweet confidence. I am thy salvation. Most wonderful words. Wonderful words that the Lord speaks unto his people to assure them that he is their Saviour. Oh, that we might know him to be our Lord and our Saviour. May this be our constant cry. Remember, the Lord answers the prayers of his people. And when they cry, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. The Lord in his time, in his way, to his honour and glory, will say, I am thy salvation. And ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me, when ye search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and it shall be given you. Oh, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Amen.
May we be helped to conclude by singing together hymn number 117, hymn 117, tune Sid Magnus, 224. Awake, sweet gratitude, and sing the ascended Saviour's love. Sing how he lives to carry on his people's cause above. For all that come to God by him, salvation he demands, points to their names upon his breast and spreads his wounded hands. Eternal life at his request, that's at the Lord's request. Plead with him to intercede for you. Eternal life at his request to every saint is given, safety on earth and after death, the plenitude of heaven. Hymn 117, tune St. Magnus 224.
Oh, And now may the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.